We had an amazing Christmas break, and it was wonderful to spend time with family, and we started organizing the house, and so nothing was safe in the entire house, and we ate too much food, but we really spent a lot of time talking about how amazing 2025 truly was, because what God is doing in this house is truly extraordinary. We have incredible stories of healings, physical, emotional, relational. God is doing something. We were revived in 25.
And so today, as we gather today, this first Sunday of 2026, there's three things that we actually want to do today. First, we want to look back with deep gratitude at what God has done. And we want to give Jesus all of the glory, because it truly is, it's all about Jesus, it's all about him. And then we wanna share a little bit about just what we sense the Holy Spirit is saying about what's next. And then finally, we wanna ask ourselves, how can we participate and partner with what God is doing in this season? And so today, as we share, we wanna share from a posture of thanksgiving, of deep humility and excitement for what God is doing in our church family and so far beyond. But let's just start by pausing and praying and asking the Holy Spirit to come. So Holy Spirit, we thank you, we invite you to come to be our teacher today, to reveal to us what you have, and to place our hearts into a posture of thanksgiving and humility with you. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go straight to scripture. It was up on the screen just a minute ago, Ephesians 3. This was a scripture that last year at this time when we were asking the Lord, the similar questions that we're asking now, Lord, what are you doing? How can we participate? He had taken us to Ephesians 3, which is a famous prayer of Paul's. And let's pick up in chapter 3, verse 20 and see what Paul wrote. He says this, "Now, all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And what I so love about this passage, you know, we often focus on the more than we could ask, think, or imagine part. But what I love here is that Paul points out that God's glory is revealed through the church. That's you and me. That is a community, a body of believers who come together, united as a family across generations. And as we grow up in Jesus, as our lives are transformed, God's glory is revealed. And so this first part of the message, we're going to be recapping. Of course, we can't tell you everything that happened in 2025. There's just way too many things. But as we share these things, what we want you to know is that these aren't just updates. This is gratitude for the glory that God poured out over the past year. And we're going to share some statistics. We're going to share some stories. All of these things, though, point back to what the Holy Spirit has been doing in this season. And it was so much more than we could have predicted, so much more than we could have planned. It blew our minds. And so I think we have to start, though, as we recap 2025, with the biggest surprise of the year, and that definitely has to do with baptisms. Now, if you're part of the Vineyard for a long time, then you know baptisms have always been an amazing part of our church family. We usually had a couple of services a year where we'd baptize people, we'd share stories, we'd joyously celebrate, and in 2024, we baptized 154 people, which was amazing, and we were so incredibly grateful. That was the most that we'd ever baptized as senior leaders. But in 2025, we ended the year with 452 baptisms.
Come on.
Just unbelievable. And including 9 on Christmas Eve services. We've decided we're ruined for life. You know, now Christmas Eve services even have baptisms. God is just doing something beautiful. It started with the youth this summer at the Sons and Daughters Conference. And literally, the Lord changed how we're doing baptism. And so it's been incredible just to watch, to see what he's done. In addition to those, we were able to welcome 169 new people into faith and 92 people rededicated. Now, these numbers are just people who were willing to fill out a form for us. So it could have been way more than this, but we are so incredibly grateful for these men and women.
Yeah, and I love what you mentioned. Again, it started with our youth. It started with the young people. And, you know, as I think about what God's doing in our kids, our youth, and our college, you know, they call it Gen Alpha, Gen Z, I'm so encouraged. As a parent, as a pastor, this is so encouraging to see the hunger that it's there, to see how people are going after it, especially when in a time when you hear so many stories about kids being struggling with anxiety and depression and other very real challenges, just the deep hunger for Jesus that lives in this group. It's so encouraging to me. And so just some things that we saw with our kids, there was more than 30 of our Kingdom kids that were baptized this year, and over 40 that said yes to Jesus as their forever friend, as we love to say in Kingdom Kids. And so I was so encouraged by what is happening within our kids. Our youth, there were over 200 youth that were baptized in this last year. That is an incredible, incredible story of what God is doing amongst that. We also had, it's not just a saying yes, it's a saying yes to for themselves, but also they want to share, and they want to lead, and they want to share this with others. We saw hundreds of kids, I think it was hundreds of students that were gathered in local schools, and they launched what we're calling student-led Bible clubs. And so there was, I think, 13 of these Bible clubs that were started, and these are student-led by kids. They became clubs that are in the public schools that are happening all the time. I'm just amazed. Thank you for those who are saying yes to leading and spreading the good news of the gospel. So encouraged in that. And then in college, we saw like 67% growth in the large group attendance for our college ministry. At the beginning of the semester, 250 college students gathered at Quad Night. And we saw people come to Jesus. We saw two baptisms happen right there on campus. And then just more recently, a few months ago in our fall retreat, just the incredible testimonies that came out of it. People set free from drug and alcohol addictions and other issues they were dealing with. One girl came on crutches, and we watched her dancing in worship later after God healed her. It was just incredible to see what God is doing in our young people. So Thank you.
We love to say there is no junior Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And we're so grateful for how God is moving in the youth. Another really bright spot this year is our Hope Center. If you don't know, we have a Hope Center located just north of here on Lincoln Avenue, where every week we have the privilege of serving hundreds of families free food. It is a food pantry. And in 2025, are you ready for a crazy number? We served 19,775 families. Okay, just for a little bit of context, 3 years prior in 2022, we had served 6,329 families. So in the last few years, we've just seen exponential growth. We averaged 430 families. Again, these are not individuals. These are families fed every single week. And in October, during a peak need, our Hope Center team served 755 families in a single day. And so if you serve on that team, thank you, thank you, thank you. In fact,
thank you. Give them a hand.
It takes an army.
It really does.
And one of the cool testimonies that we got was someone who was volunteering. They said, I went to the Hope Center to give people hope through food, and I found a family there. It is an incredible place to volunteer. What I love about our program, too, is we offer not only food, but every single person has the opportunity to receive prayer. We always ask, is there anything that we can pray for you about? And so it's meeting both that practical and that supernatural need.
So good. I love that the Hope Center, it's truly helping people encounter the love of Jesus in very practical ways. And so it just encouraged me to see the ways that God empowers each of us to be his hands and feet. And one of the ways that we love to train people to be the hands and feet of Jesus is through the School of Kingdom Ministry. And so this year, we're in the middle of our year for most of our sites. There's about 1,100 students who are engaged globally with the School of Kingdom Ministry. There's 50 SOCM locations across 4 different countries. Right here in Urbana, we're currently in the middle of our year with about 70 people participating each week. And I know they're about to kick off again, so I'm so excited for them to finish the second half of the school year this year. One really cool story that has come out of SOCM in the last few years is there is a SOCM site located in a women's prison in Florida. And so for about the last 3 years, this site has been going on. There's currently 72 inmates are enrolled in this women's prison in Florida. They recently baptized 31 people, which brings their total to almost 200 people baptized through this SOCM class in a women's prison in Florida. Is that not amazing what God is doing there? I just love the way that we can equip people to share the gospel, naturally supernatural, training people to pray boldly in grocery stores, in workplaces, in neighborhoods, in prisons, wherever you go, God is moving in the space.
It's so good. Well, another one of the ways that we love to give away is through our More Love, More Power conference. And of course, you heard this morning, Joanna and Delandis were already talking about that. But in 2025, we had Randy Clark join us. We had Jay Pathak, the national leader of the Vineyard. We had an incredible time. 1,100 people or 1,300 people showed up.
1,300 people showed up. 130 churches were represented.
Just crazy.
Through that. Awesome things that are happening. Again, you saw, if you weren't in here for the host spot, we're inviting you all to come. We want you to be participating with us this year. So sign up there, scan the QR code. We want this to bless our local church, even as we take the opportunity to give away what God is doing right here locally.
Okay, we just have a couple more things because there was just too many amazing things. How blessed are we by the musicianship in this house? If you are a musician yourself, you already know this, but I can't sing. They call me the lead worshiper.
Me either.
You can't either. But what you need to know is that these men and women, almost all of them, are volunteers. They are giving of their time and their talents. This team is beautifully led by Kyle and, of course, Ethan, and they do an amazing job stewarding that. One amazing thing from this last year, there are 12 original songs in the works in this house. And that is a sound of heaven, a sound of revival as people are crying out for more of God. And so you can look forward to hearing more of those songs. But this week, Kyle Howard's song, We Lift You Up, which of course we love to sing here, is coming out through Vineyard Worship. They captured this summer when we were at the national conference. And we want to encourage you, you can stream it on all platforms. I believe it's either Thursday or Friday this week.
Friday, January 9th, I think.
Friday, January 9th. This is an incredible song, and I know that you're going to be blessed. And I know that God's going to continue to do more with music and worship in our house in the year ahead. I also have the privilege of helping oversee community life and small groups. And this year, right now, we have 37 small groups. It is exciting to see where God is just putting on people's heart to disciple. One of the tools that he's used in this season is Alpha. Now, how many of my Alpha family is out there today? Yes, look around, your Alpha family. Alpha is a course designed to help people know who Jesus is. It's an 11-week course. And in the spring, we had 70 participants. In the fall, we averaged 130. God is just breathing and growing on this whole. And I want to invite you to come to our next Alpha starting Tuesday, March 3rd. Now, this is for if you're new to faith, if you are on a journey and you don't know Jesus, or if you know someone who is interested or in kind of this space.
It is truly one of the best tools that you can have to help introduce somebody to who Jesus is, the Bible, to faith. Yeah. It is an amazing, incredible tool.
Okay, we do have to give a shout out to our welcome team. If you're on the welcome team, would you raise your hand? Okay, yes, look around. These are the men and women who open your doors, who greet you, who say thank you. And this team grew exponentially last year. They went, they're now up to 90 people. Who knows? You could be the next person who joins the welcome team. That's right. It's been amazing to just hear the testimonies of how, as people have served, how they've gotten connected.
Right. And I love that it's not just the things God's doing this last year right here locally. He's really working all over the world, and specifically within our missions partners. And I am so deeply thankful for the faithful missionaries and the missions partners that we have that are faithfully working all throughout the year, all the time, doing a great job. We have three different places where we do missions. One is East China, one is Mexico, and the other is in West Africa. And specifically in West Africa, we serve a couple of different countries, the Ivory Coast and Mali. And I actually had the opportunity to go to Mali, which is one of the poorest countries in the world, in January of this last year. And let me tell you, we are so blessed to have some incredible men and women who are faithfully sharing the gospel in some trying and challenging places, and they are so excited about what Jesus is doing. And we have an incredible leader there named Sidibe, who's a doctor, and he's just an amazing, amazing leader. And one of the incredible stories I want to share with you that happened this last year we have to go back to April of 23. There was an anonymous donor who donated over 8,000 audio Bibles. And this is how we actually have to give the Bibles to people, because most people can't read. There's also a lot of different languages. So these recordings of audio Bibles are really important in sharing the word over there. Now, this 2.5 years later, after a whole bunch of delays and challenges and getting the shipment there, these Bibles come in December, and Custom says it's going to cost $32,000 in customs fees to get these Bibles in. And so Sidibe sends out a prayer request. Hey, begin to pray. They begin to share with the customs agent what's happening and what they're doing with
these. Who was Muslim.
Who was Muslim. And he becomes convicted about the word of God and decides to waive all the custom fees. Now all 8,000 Bibles are there. They've already distributed like over 2,000 of these Bibles. Just an incredible story of the faithfulness of God to share and the good news of Jesus. What an incredible, incredible thing. So one of the things I would ask you specifically in Mali is to continue to pray for what's happening there. There are serious terrorists and other groups, rebel groups within the country that are causing a lot of trouble for people. More specifically, even in the end of this last year, it got really bad too. Just be praying for them, whether it happened. These are serious, like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, those types of groups that are actually there causing disruption. So they're still faithfully sharing. They're still going after it. It's not just not keeping them from sharing the gospel, but it is definitely a hindrance. Please be praying for them.
Okay. Do you have energy for one more story? Because it's a good story. So we have other missionaries in Mexico, Anna and Stephen Price. They are in Guadalajara, Mexico, and they are planting a church there. And this year they got connected to a rehab facility. And at this rehab facility, they have taken 100 men through Alpha. And this has been an incredible opportunity. And they told me the story of a man named Alan. They met Alan in August, 21 years old, in and out of rehab 20 times. His whole life had basically been rehab. He was a self-proclaimed atheist. He was hostile. And Anna basically said, listen, you don't have to participate, but you do have to come to Alpha. And so he came, and week after week, he began to soften. He began to smile. He began to ask a question or two. And then eventually he said, well, would you pray for me? I want to know what it feels like. So they prayed for Alan, and he didn't feel anything. And he was really discouraged. And Anna said, you know, sometimes we don't feel something. A few weeks later, there was a worship time at the rehab facility, and they noticed Alan was sobbing, and he was just weeping during worship. And later, Anna talked to Alan, and she said, well, what was happening? He goes, I don't know. And she said, well, I believe that you were encountering the power and presence of God. He loves you. He's forgiven you. He's for you. And Alan said, I have not cried in 8 years. I have not been at a church since I was 11. And when I was at 11, I was there to steal from a church. And Anna just spoke the gospel over him. He received more prayer. And when they asked a few days later, who wants to be baptized? Alan said, you know, I've done life my way, and I believe I want to do life God's way. And he got baptized along with 32 other people. There were 33 people from the rehab facility baptized in one day. The Lord is moving, and it is just so incredibly powerful.
And I just love, we share these stories first and foremost because it is important to stop and to reflect on what God has done, to be encouraged by what he's got. And then can we also just say a thank you to Jesus? Can we just give that glory to him right now? We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. We are so grateful for all the ways that you are moving and continue to move and will move in this next year. And it can be bittersweet to say goodbye to an amazing year like that, but we are so excited about what God is doing next.
Yeah. Okay, so 2 years ago, we had this crazy idea that we were going to read the one-year Bible together, and we were going to go on this journey being transformed by truth. And then we loved it so much, we asked the Holy Spirit, we said, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you saying for 2025? And he said, you're going to be revived as you read the word, and you're going to be revived by my wind, revived by his wind and his word. And what I love is that we are a prophetic people. We believe that God speaks. We believe that we can listen. And so we have been in a posture for a couple of months of saying, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What are you saying is next? God is the leader of this house. We are the stewards. We are the stewards of what God is doing in this season, and we take it really seriously to say, Lord, what are you saying? You know, all around the world, near and far, the Spirit of God is moving, and we are seeing a genuine awakening of God's people. There is a hunger. It's not just here that there's been a surge of baptisms or a surge of salvations or a hunger for the scripture. It really is all over the world. And we believe that the Lord in this moment is speaking a prophetic word to us. And that word is awakened. We believe that God is calling us to be an awakened people, not theoretically, not someday, not when it's convenient, but today. Because this is the truth. We have seen the glory of the Lord in such powerful ways the last 18 months. Truly, we could be satisfied. We could say, wow, that was great. But we want to lean in. We want to say, Lord, what are you doing next? How can we participate? How can we create the space that you need to continue to move?
Right, and we don't want to see what can often happen is that we go through the motions of faith. Right? And I get how that can happen. We can be plagued by cynicism that comes from disappointment or unanswered prayers or just the very real challenges that we face in life that can dull our senses to what God is doing. But the scripture tells us it's possible to know God. it's possible to know him, to be saved, and yet still asleep to the awareness of what God is doing. And that's not where we want to be as a people. We want to be a people who are aware and awake to what God is doing. And I know there is always so many distractions around, so many things calling for our attention. And so our cry with awaken is to say, what does it mean to come back, to always be in a posture where we are aware and awake to what God is doing? And this is what God is calling his people to. In fact, we see this in the scriptures, and I want to read from what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans. And I'm going to read from Romans 13. And here, previously, Paul has kind of set up in Romans 13, kind of who is Christ? What has he done for us? And now what does it mean to live from that place to those who are there? So I want to read in Romans 13, 11 through 12. It says this: "Do this, knowing this time that it's already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than we first believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let's rid ourselves of the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." What is he saying here? Is to the hour is now for us to awaken from sleep. He's not talking here to those who don't know Jesus. He's talking to the church. And that should capture our attention right here, right? He's saying you can believe in Jesus, but you can still be asleep. You can go through the practice faith, read scripture, and yet not be fully awake to what God is doing right now, right here in these moments. And Paul warns us that to be asleep is to live with disordered desires. And what he calls us to is to put on the armor of light. What he's saying is to put on Jesus Christ. This is a call to live from this new identity that we have been given, not to go through the motions, because the kingdom of God, as we know, is very near. You have been made new. So Paul says, live like it every single day. Don't stay numb, distracted, or spiritually dull, because he wants to bring the light. What happens when the light comes in? Those things that were maybe hidden in the darkness are no longer able to hide. So when God shines his light on it, he's saying, hey, when I show you what needs to go, you need to put it off. You need to get rid of it. Some translations actually say it's like taking off dirty clothes, right? Well, you don't put on clean clothes over your filthy ones. Maybe there's some teenagers. I have some teenagers who might disagree. Well, we'll see. But no, you take it off. It's the same way. Sin can't be covered up with spirituality, right? Our old patterns have to be surrendered so that real transformation can happen. This happens in repentance. This happens when we say yes to him, when we follow the instructions of his word, when we surrender to him. And that's the invitation that Paul is giving us here, to wake up, to step into the freedom that Jesus has already made available. That is the good news of the gospel.
Yeah, you know, as a parent, one of the things that happens is like you don't realize what's happening until it's happened and you look back. And what we don't want to do in this season is we don't want to just let this season pass us by and not be fully awake to what God is doing, to not be fully awake to this precious moment in church history that God has called us to. And so I think that one of the things we have to do as we talk about this word awakened throughout the year, we have to talk about what does it mean to be awakened? Obviously, awake means not asleep, but let's press in a little bit. And because I'm me and I love alliteration and I love A's, you know, let's just keep it in that format for just a minute. An awakened person, I think the first thing that I think is that they have a deep awareness of God's presence and his authority. And I don't think it was an accident that the last couple months of the year, we talked about kingdom authority. We talked about being revived by his presence. To be an awakened person is to be aware that God is powerful, he's in charge, and he's here with us. This is what it means to be awakened. Secondly, I think awakened people, they live with adoration for the king. Listen, I want my heart to burn for Jesus. I don't want to be asleep to this incredible gift of love that has been offered to me. I want to receive his love, to bask in his love, and to return that love back to him. We want to be filled with adoration for God. And then lastly, when I think about a person that's awakened, I think about someone who's activated to partnership. You know, an awakened person, they see their life not just as like, well, I guess we'll just see, you know, what happens today. No, they see every interaction, every task, everything they need to do through the lens of the kingdom of God, even suffering through the lens of the kingdom of God. Because when we're in step with the Spirit, when we're activated in him, then that leads to us being awake. And so to be awakened is to be aware of God, to adore God, to be activated to partnership with him. And again, all throughout scripture, the Bible calls us to wake up. Now, I want to be clear that, you know, this time of year, you know, you can kind of get into the resolution mode where you're like, okay, I'm going to do better. I am going to drink more water. I am. That is actually true. I'm going to try to drink more water. But we can kind of get into this, like, we want to fix it mode. We're like, okay, these are things I don't like. You know what? Right now, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to imagine if you were really awake to your full identity, to the destiny that God had called you to, what would your life look like? What would change? What would be different? Okay, you can open your eyes. Because this isn't going to be about us trying harder in our own strength. This isn't going to be about us living in the reality of the resurrection life that Jesus paid for. That means being filled with his spirit every single day. And so when that happens, when we receive this truth, then we're ready, we're responsive, and we're available for what God is doing. My hope is that in 2026, in January 2026, 2027, a year from now, we are telling stories of all that God did in this year. That we have the same posture as we enter into a new year to say, whoa, more than we could ask or imagine. We want to be people who are awake this year.
And the truth is, we won't have stories because Mike and Julie did something. We have stories because God's people were awakened to what he's doing in your life, with your mission, with your calling, with the people God has placed right in front of you. Wherever you're at and whatever you're doing, what does God want to do with you? Mm-hmm. What does it look like? How do we actually participate? How are you going to participate in what God's doing? How do we partner with what the Spirit is saying? And as we've been asking this question, again, we're asking the question of what does the life of an awakened person really look like? What are the characteristics? And one of those things is something that God's actually already been showing us as a church family for many years. And we see these practices in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus talks about that in his famous Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 specifically. We're going to talk about it. You've heard us talk about this, giving and praying and fasting. Because Jesus says these are not optional extras to the life of faith. Right? Jesus doesn't say, if you give and pray and fast, he says, when you do those things. Amen. They're just an expected characteristic. And so we want to continue to bring that home. These are the characteristics, the things we can do to participate, to make ourselves and put ourselves in an awareness of what God is doing. Because as awakened people, we want encounter, we want intimacy, and we want to cultivate the presence and power of God in every part of our lives. And so when Jesus invites us into those things, he invites us to give. And he says to give in secret. And what he's saying, and that is that he wants us to make sure that it's the most important audience in our heart is God. Are we in obedience to him as a first place? That's what he wants. Same thing for prayer. He says to pray in secret, right? Cultivating real intimacy with the Father, not a spiritual performance for others. Now don't hear me say that like we're not called to pray. This is different than ministry prayer or the calls we wait to equip people to pray for one another. He's just saying, first and foremost, make sure that you're cultivating this relationship, so that these prayers are never about performance when we're doing them with others and doing that. The same with fasting, that we're fasting in secret. We're reordering our heart. We're humbling ourselves before God so that our desires become his desires in this place. That's the posture that we want to see as an awakened people, that we give, we pray, and we fast.
Yeah, and I there's that part of me that's like, okay, yes, awakened, let's do it. Okay, what am I going to do? Give, pray, fast? Those are the instructions. Whether you are 13 or whether you're 93, the instruction from scripture is give and pray and fast. And that's how you participate in this awakened life. Now, I am going to add a new word in there, because what I love about fasting is it creates space for you to feast. What is feasting? Feasting is when you create that space for you to be able to eat the word of God. And so at the Vineyard, TVC disciples, we give, we pray, we fast, we feast. Let's just see really quickly, what does scripture say about feasting? Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Matthew 4:4, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you want to be an awakened person, you must feast with the King. You must invite the Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, I need to know what you're saying. You know, for the last 2 years, we've been reading the one-year Bible. And if you're newer with us and have not yet received your Bible, today is your day. You can go to the lounge and get one for free. I also love the YouVersion app where you can go and you can download it and you can follow along so that sometimes it can just read to you. And that's how you're going to engage with the scriptures. This is what we know. We know that reading the Word of God transforms us. And that feasting with the Lord is going to keep us awake. And so we want to give, pray, fast, and feast. We have updated a resource page for you on our website. Again, these are just tools for you to be able to use. You can access them anytime. These have things about giving, praying, and fasting, simple explanations, fasting tips, things like that. I want to highlight two important things that we are doing this year as we launch into this awakened year and vision. The first is something we're calling Awakened Nights. These are going to be 6 Tuesdays leading up to MLMP from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And these are going to be nights of worship, prayer, and prophecy as we prepare for what we are asking the Lord for MLMP 2026. And so there is no childcare, but your children can come if you watch them. And we want to encourage you to come out. You can come out to one, you could come out to all of them, you could come out to none of them. But that's one way that you can participate in just preparing your heart for what God's doing. And then secondly, we did this last year and we're going to invite you to join us again. We're going to take a 40-day period starting 10 days from now, and we are going to set aside that time for a corporate fast. Now, more information is going to be coming out about this. We're going to send an email out with more details. But from January 14th to February 23rd, we are encouraging you during that 40-day period leading up to More Love, More Power to consider fasting. You could fast food, you could fast a meal, you could fast a food group, you could fast another thing that would be a sacrifice to create space so that you could have more time to do what God is asking you to do.
Yeah, that's our call today, to not just be revived once, but to be awake, to be awakened to what God is doing every single day in our life. So let's throw off anything that dulls that hunger. Let's put on the armor of light. Let's put on Jesus and his new identity and step fully into what God has for us. We were revived in 25, and we want to be awakened in 26. So come, Holy Spirit, let's do it in us so you can do it through us. Mm-hmm. Let's tell these stories next year. Mm-hmm. I want better, more stories that we can continue to be more than we can ask or imagine. So before we pray, I'm going to invite the worship team to come out. I just want to continue to invite, as we have been throughout 2025, we have this baptism tank. We talked about what God is doing in baptisms and this invitation. I'm just going to invite you to go ahead and stand and as we prepare to worship, if you're able. This invitation is always there, that our first step in this journey of faith, our first step to being revived, our first step to being awakened, is to say yes to Jesus, to say yes to him in our hearts, and then to say yes to baptism, the sacrament of baptism right here. And so we will continue to have that tank available. And if you feel that call today, one, to say yes to him. Two, that, you know what? Now is my time to be baptized. We have a team right over here where you see the baptism info sign. And during worship, you can come up. We can talk. We have a team that will discern with you, that will talk this through with you. And I'm so excited for the ways that God is going to continue to bring stories alive to us right here. So who's going to be the first in 2026 to say yes? Who's going to be the first into the water today? Say yes today as we worship, and we'll be back up to minister later.